We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, hello. Welcome to Talking Buffalo Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Patrick Moran. Thank you, as always, for locking in. Audio side, video side, does not matter. Today is part two of your biggest and boldest Buffalo Bills and NFL takes. We did part one last week. We're going to continue to party here, part two. Just like last week, I got my good buddy Joe at Buffalo Wins on Twitter with me. Lots of, part one. And by the way, guys, if you have not listened or watched yet, make sure you go back. It was some pretty outlandish, bold, whatever you want to call it, takes out there.
Hot lots takes.
Lots of stuff. Like, according to last week, Josh Allen's going to throw for a million touchdowns. James Cook is going to be the best rookie running back in the history of the NFL. And the Bengals are going to suck.
And I said the Bills defense was going to finish in the bottom half of the league.
Yeah, last week. And by the way, also, we had a little bit of technical difficulties. A little bit, but we recovered.
It's Pat's fault. I'll just blame it on him.
It's Pat's fault. We recovered like the pros we are. But anyway, yeah, so Joe ended the last podcast with his own bold prediction for the Bills, and he's going to do the same today. But to recap where we left off last week, you said the Bills were going to be in the bottom half of the NFL in the defense, which is bold considering they were number one last year and added Von Miller. One thing before I ask you, before I follow up on that, we are taping this the same night. So this is airing a week from when we taped. I just wanted to put that out there because we're reading off other people's, you know, big, bold takes right now. If something crazy happens involving the Buffalo Bills, a player or something like that, and we don't talk about it, over, you know, if it's something that happened in recent days, that's why, because we taped this a full week ago.
I bet you will drop this before next week. I'm going to bet that right now. You're going to sleep on it, and you're going to go, nope. Like, you know what? Bonus episode right now.
The first part's already a bonus episode. This part is going to be a bonus for next week.
Real episode. Okay.
If you want to know, and by the way, if you want to know my dedication to this craft right now, I am missing, because we're taping this on a Tuesday night, pretty late. This Is Us has become one of my favorite TV shows of all time. And I am missing the second to last episode. It is an amazing show. And a lot of people, you want to talk about bold takes? We could probably do a whole podcast just on people's bold takes, because either people think it's the greatest thing ever, or they're bored and they absolutely hate it. We'll talk about that another time.
The wife loves the show.
I'm with your wife. I think it's one of my five favorite shows of all time, and we'll see how the last two episodes play out, and then it might even climb a little bit higher. But anyway, missing that to take this. Back to you. The Bills, the number one defense last year, why do you say that they're going to finish in the bottom half? Which, by the way, could mean 15-16, but that's still technically the bottom half.
Schedule. I mean, I think it's a quarterback play they're playing this year. I think it's monster. It's much bigger than last year. Much bigger. The top three quarterbacks they played last year in the regular season were Mahomes, Brady, and Tannehill. Okay, like, stop me if you think I'm wrong in that regards. Those are the three best quarterbacks they played. They played Cam Newton in garbage. Tyler Heineke, Tua. You know, Wilson, like, they played
Davis
a
Mills.
Lot of
sure, a lot of
Davis
garbage.
Mills, a lot of garbage quarterbacks. This year, I'll just give you a prime example. Kirk Cousins, who was probably not even in the top five for quarterbacks they're playing this year, would easily be in the top three for the quarterbacks they played last year. Like, him and Tannehill are kind of neck and neck as far as I'm concerned. They're kind of the same. And as far as I'm concerned, it's take your pick. But they got they got Stafford. They got Lamar Jackson. They got Mahomes. They got Rodgers. They got possibly Deshaun Watson if he, like, doesn't get suspended. You know, they got Burrow. Like, they got, like, it's a much stacked lineup of offenses this year than it was from last year. And I know they got Von Miller. God bless Von Miller. I think hopefully he'll be good. Like, he's not going to hit, like, he's not going to hit a Mario Williams wall or anything like that, like, you know, at his age. But Trey Waite's coming back from injury. They're still a little bit thin at cornerback as far as I know. They got Elam, so maybe he'll be good. Maybe he'll be Trey White as a rookie. Who the hell knows? But I think they're going to keep up that top 10.
I agree. I don't know about falling into the bottom half, but what I do agree with you with is that they're definitely playing on paper anyway, as it seems right now, a tougher schedule, plus some younger quarterbacks in their own division, Tua and Zach Wilson, who might improve, even Matt Jones. I mean,
yeah,
the book's not written on those guys. So, yeah, I agree that the competition level is going to be better for sure. And also, and I don't want to stray away from what today's topic is, but I will add, because it's to your point, to your bold prediction, I said last year, I don't think the Bills defense was all that. They weren't quite as good. They weren't the best defense in the NFL last year. They were good, but they weren't. They got exposed too many times to be a truly great defense, including the playoffs when it mattered the most. I mean, we could go on and on about the 13 seconds forever. That defense played lousy pretty much that whole game. So, it's bold to say that, but not outlandish.
I think it's bold. As I said, I don't know how big of an impact Von Miller's going to have on the pass rush. I think the defensive line's great.
Well, I was going to say, don't jump too far ahead, because some fans are going to have thoughts and I'm sure you'll have reactions to those. So to our point, we're going to jump in back in, and these are tweets. I put it out on Twitter last week. I asked fans to come at us with your biggest and boldest Buffalo Bills and or NFL predictions for the season. And we did about half of them last week. We're going to do the other half this week. So let's just pick up kind of where we left off. All right, so James Shannon, at the James Shannon, he tweets, the Bills finished the season 16-1 and redeemed that loss to the Rams in the Super Bowl. And then his NFL prediction, Jaguars make the playoffs. Both of these were touched on last week. Someone else said the Bills were going 16-1. James is taking it a step further. He's pretty much saying the Bills are going to lose their first game in the season, and then they're not going to lose again for the rest of 2022. And the Jaguars making the playoffs. I know these are bold and that's what we asked for, Joe, but I just don't see Jacksonville Jaguars making the playoffs, man. It's just, I don't know, man. It's almost too much for me to be able to handle. This is bold.
I think it's really dependent on how much you view Trevor Lawrence and then Josh Allen, the defensive side of the ball. Like, they have,
and
like,
how
really
terrible
good...
you think Urban Meyer was as head coach last
year. Yeah, exactly. And that could be part of it. They are in kind of a not a great division by any stretch of, like, the Colts are in transition. I mean, who believes in Matt Ryan? The Texans are going to be lousy. The Titans are kind of in transition too. I don't see them making the playoffs, but I could see them winning like six games or something like that, six or seven. You know what I mean?
There was one party that of your take I don't agree with, which we'll get to in another tweet. And look, Joe and I both do not think the Bills are going to go 16-1 and only lose the first week to the Rams. And then what would they run off? That's 16 in a row during the season and three or four if you count the Super Bowl after. No. Anyway, all right, let's continue here. KCB at KC_booze says, with all the pressure, the Bills dropped the first two games of the season, then rattle off seven or eight games in a row, losing one more and finishing 14-3. 14-3 is bold any way you look at it, as good as this team is, Vegas favorite or not. Not a lot to add to this tweet. It sounds feasible, at least. Yeah.
First two games. I don't know. That's kind of bold, but whatever.
Well, it is, but it is not in a way, because look, man, the Bills have not played well against Tennessee the last 2 years now. And Derrick Henry has gotten the better of Buffalo, and Tannehill has played much better against Buffalo than he has a lot of other teams. So it's not out of the realm of possibility for the Bills to lose their first two games. Rattle off seven or eight in a row. Again, tough. 14-3. I like it. That's what we asked for. Bold tweet. That's bold. Moving on. John Oldenburg. At John Oldenburg says, the Bills beat the 49ers for the Super Bowl. Both Green Bay and Kansas City don't make the playoffs. We already talked about Kansas City last week. This guy's got Green Bay missing the playoffs, and he's got the 49ers. The Bills beating the 49ers in the Super Bowl. Is this Chris Berman, like, circa 20 years ago or something, man? Look, I mean, San Francisco was good last year, but Trey Lance is probably their quarterback this year. It's going to be his first year as a starter. The NFC, I will say this, unlike the AFC, which is just loaded, the NFC's not. So
I could see San Fran maybe making this. I mean, look, they made it to the title game, what, two out of three years or whatever, mm-hmm. like the NFC championship. I don't see Green Bay or Kansas City not making the playoffs. Like, come on. Stop with this nonsense. We had the Chiefs thing on the last.
We talked about the Chiefs last week. We disagree.
Yeah, Green Bay. We don't disagree. Yeah, you think it's a possibility. I don't. I think that's bullshit. For both of these, Green Bay and Kansas City missing the playoffs. I don't. I'll be walking on water if that happens.
I think Green Bay's got a far better chance of winning the top seed again in the NFC before the playoffs, and then ultimately losing in the playoffs because that seems to be what they do. Aaron Rodgers is a regular season god, and then he's pretty pedestrian in the playoffs. I mean, he does have a Super Bowl, and you can't take that away from him. But, you know, over the course of his career, it's kind of been the trend, at least over the last handful of years, not playing as well in the playoffs. Yeah, I don't see Green Bay not making the playoffs. I don't see the Chiefs not making the playoffs either, but I don't think that's outlandish. 49ers in the Super Bowl, though. All right, David at super_nerd00. Bills break the 2007 Patriots point differential record of 315. For math purposes, Joe, that means the Bills would have to average over 17 games an average victory margin of 18.6 per game. And that's if they go undefeated. They lose a game, obviously they would have to increase that. That's I know people love the Bills, man. I get it, but man, that's a tall task.
Their schedule is too tough. I mean, the Patriots of 07, that was the year that the AFC East was horrible. Like, the Bills finished in second place with a 7-9 record. I remember this, and like the Dolphins and Jets were like two wins each, maybe one win. So I mean, a lot of it is scheduling, and I do think the Bills' schedule is a lot tougher than it's been. In a while, like, you know, they play a lot. So I don't think the 315. No. What was their point differential last year? Do you remember?
I don't have,
I think it was really high, but like, cause they blew out a lot of crappy teams and they,
yeah,
and
they won.
They barely lost.
They were like, they didn't win a game last year by one score. Every one score game, the Bills lost last year, which was a big problem. Before I go to the next tweet, let me ask you this. Cause, and again, bold tweet. We asked for it. We certainly got it. That is pretty damn bold. Not impossible because this team is loaded. But do you worry a little bit before we get to more tweets here? The Bills being as favorite as they are. Like, you find me a media outlet. Well, I don't care if it's ESPN, Sporty News, Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports, whatever it may be. Find me a media outlet, and I'm going to find you a power rankings that has the Bills number one. The Bills are literally number one everywhere. The Bills are favored to win the Super Bowl right now in Vegas, the betting favorites. Do you worry a little bit about this team being ranked that high and put on a pedestal right now when at the end of the day, this is a team that got beat convincingly 2 years ago in the AFC Championship? And then last year, of course, they should have won, and if they probably would have beat Cincinnati and went to the Super Bowl, but they didn't win. They lost in a divisional round. Seems to be a very lofty the bar is like insanely high for this football team right now. Does that concern you a little bit about a team that, for me, I've always enjoyed being the hunters more than the hunted?
I would say there's maybe a concern about, like, I don't think there's a concern that they're too cocky or anything like that. Like, they're too overconfident because everyone's picking them to be great.
Right.
I mean, I think last year heading into the season, they were picked by, not as many as now, but they were picked to go pretty damn far, you know, because they were one game away from the Super Bowl in 2020. I do worry about the pressure getting to them, because now it's like, I don't even know what the realistic expectations are in terms of what makes a failure of a season. Like, if you lose in the divisional round, that feels like a failure of a season. If you lose in the AFC championship game, that kind of feels like a failure of
it
a
is.
Season.
It's not and kind it of. Is. It is. It is.
It is. Yeah,
if you
exactly.
don't go to the Super Bowl, this year is a failure to me. No question about it.
And that can maybe worry me a little bit, that they'll put too much pressure on themselves, maybe. Because look, I said this in the last podcast we did, that they still went 11-6 last year. They were 7-6 at one point, where they had like a lot of losses, like against teams that were like, when they got crushed by the Colts, they lost to Jacksonville. Like, the moment did seem at times to be a little bit too big for them, where like they were maybe they were just kind of going through the motions a little bit.
Too big for the coaches, for sure. There's no question about it.
The coaches, but like there is a lot. There is definitely, man, this is the most pressure I think a team has had since probably 91. Like for the Bills, I'm just saying by the Bills standards, where like after Norwood missed that kick, like everyone was like, they got to get back. They had
sure, yeah,
to get back.
Yep, yep.
And then once they started getting crushed, it kind of changed a little bit, where you were kind of like, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. Like it wasn't as much pressure, because like I think people at that, and when we were younger, it was not expected, that we kept thinking that it was going to end sooner rather than later. And it didn't, because they went back 3-4. But like that 90, I remember 91 was like, they need to go back because of how they lost. And I feel like that could be the case here. Whereas like, you know, that 13 seconds is like, they got to go back and go further than that.
They have but, to.
Yeah, they have to.
Failure. You're yeah. the favorites. You talk about a process growing, developing. Josh Allen is what he is now. Many think he is the best quarterback in the NFL. And outside of Buffalo, it used to be just Buffalo. Now there's a lot of people parried around the league who say that Josh Allen is as good as Mahomes or anybody or better. And there's nowhere to go right now besides getting to the Super Bowl where it's not a failure. You look at and again, the process, the years. You look at a team like the Bengals last year, 4-15-1 the year before, man. Joey Burrow's first full season in the league, and they very well, not only did they get to the Super Bowl, they probably should have won the Super Bowl last year. So, yeah, I do worry about pressure. The way I see things playing out is, to our point that we've been discussing, the schedule's really hard early on. I can see the Bills struggling a little bit early on. Like, maybe they're only 3-3 after six games, or 4-2 or whatever. Maybe even 2-4 or something like that, or 2-3. I could see the media shitting on them, calling them overrated, this and that. And then I think they get to that bye, and I think they really step, you know, they start to put their foot on the gas. And the good news is, I think they'll be playing their best football when it matters most. But anyway, I just want to know your thoughts on that, because there is a lot of pressure. Back to our tweets here, because I said I thought you were wrong about one thing. Michael Rickmuth says the Colts get the one seed in the conference because of their division. And they also play the NFC East. I don't agree. I think the Colts are a good team. I think Matt Ryan is a big upgrade over Carson Wentz. I think the Colts got a great offensive line. I think Jonathan Taylor is as good as any running back in the NFL. And they got enough good pieces. And they're playing in a weak division, to Michael's point. And they're playing a soft schedule.
One more thing, too.
Last year, and it could be the same kind of situation, because I think this is where you would go with it too. The Titans were the number one seed in the AFC, but ain't no one in the world thought the Titans were the best team in the AFC. You know how loaded the AFC West is. The Bills got a tough schedule. Colts don't. I could see the Colts. I could see this tweet having some merit.
I could see them winning their division. Definitely not a number one seed. I think Matt Ryan's toast. I think he's been toast for the last couple of years. Yeah, he's going to a better team than he was on with the Falcons, but I think he's toast. Okay. I really do.
All right.
But they can win because of their division, yes, but not.
I think they're going to win because of their division. I think they'll be in. I think they're one of those teams that'll have a better record than they are. That said, they put a beating on the Bills last year, and the Bills are not a good matchup for them because of the way they're physical at the line of scrimmage, and Jonathan Taylor's just a fucking beast, man. All right, David Joseph at Canisius 85. He says Jets 9-8 in third place, Fish 4-13 in last. All right, man, this is where I get to the point. And we didn't really talk about it much last week. And I think a couple are going to come up about Miami right now. I feel like this is Bills fandom hating on their enemy. I don't know where you come up with a team, Miami, that almost made the playoffs last year, a team that won, I think, 7 of their last 8 games last year, who added Tyreek Hill, who added a lot of talent to their team this year. 4-13, is that bold or is that just, yo, I'm a Bills fan and I really fucking hate Miami right now? Because that's how I feel. I feel like it's the latter. How do you have Miami going 4-13?
You know, we're like, I think into this two-part series, we're like probably an hour and change into it. And I have not talked shit about anyone yet. I'm going to talk shit now. Nate Geary, this is all Nate Geary's fault. He has gone, like, balls to the wall, yelling every day about the Dolphins. And his followers have followed suit with just this disdain towards Miami. Like, every day, like, Miami's the worst team in the history of the world. Tua's terrible. Fuck, like, every day, it's just, like, a ridiculous... I can't go far on Bill's Twitter without seeing Nate Geary angry at Dolphins fans. And then everyone rolls into that. And there's a part of me that's kind of like, first of all, I don't think they're that terrible. Like, you know, and like, sorry that I kind of remember when Josh Allen wasn't very good his first 2 years. And yes, maybe, and I bet you if you put his stats against Tua's stats, they're probably the same for those 2 years, like those first, like, whatever, 20 or so starts. And then, like, everyone's like, ah, he's terrible. Fuck him. He's going to hell. Like, and I sometimes wonder, like, you know, the Bills are like, they're supposed to be this upper echelon team right now, where it's like, why are people just constantly just taking dumps on the Dolphins? Like, shouldn't we be like looking at their things? Like I just remember, like, during the draw, like, did the Patriots fans really make fun of the Bills fans and coming into anyone's tweets and being like, oh, you guys are losers. I don't think the Patriots gave a shit. Their fans cared about us. They cared about the Colts. They cared about, like, you know, the Steelers, teams that they were going against, and they were going to, like, get in their head and talk about. And instead, I feel like we're just dumping on teams that we feel are inferior. Instead of we should be starting wars with the Chiefs fans, starting wars with, like, the Ravens fans. Like, those are the type of fans we need to go to war with. Like,
I agree. It's tradition because it's Miami. I mean,
No. Those fans, don't talk to me about Miami Bills tradition. Like, that's if you're 30 and under, you don't get that tradition. Come on, sorry.
Well, we're over 30, so we do
no,
get
under
it.
30. Well, like 35, maybe. Like, you'd have to be in the night. The Miami Bills rivalry has been dead for like 20 years. I think it's just, it has been, dude. Come on. No one... You and me, like, remember it, but, like, if you're Nate Geary's age, you don't fucking remember Marino versus Kelly.
Regardless, it's all Nate Geary's fault.
That's why people hate Miami, and they cannot shut up about, like, taking a dump on them all the time.
Bills fans hate Miami because of our good friend
Nate Geary. Sal Capaccio and Jeremy White. People hate the Patriots because of them too, because they obsess over shitting on their fans, right.
And there's some fans who just,
I kid about that one, but anyway,
there's some fans who just hate them because they're in our division. But anyway, my point that I was making there was, I'll say this too before I get to the next tweet. I'll go back to the one from David. The Jets 9-8, and if I'm a New York Jets fan, my goal for the season, like the Bills right now, we just talked about it. It's Super Bowl or bust as far as I'm concerned. You don't get to the Super Bowl, this season's a failure to me. If I'm a New York Jets fan, 9-8, that's my goal. If I have a winning season, if I have a 9-8 record and a winning season this year, I think that's a good year for the New York Jets. Miami 4-13. My point was this. That's just ridiculous. All right. So many bad things would have to happen for them to go to 4-13. I almost feel like that's not even a bold take. That's just a Bills fan hating on Miami. Let me continue, by the way. MAF 4359. Here's his tweet. Tua gets benched second half of the season. Zach Wilson takes next step. Jets extremely competitive. No periods here from our boy MAF. Mac Jones takes a step back due to lack of coaching. OJ Howard is a red zone stud. Ed Oliver gets biggest benefit of having Von Miller around. A lot to unpack here. I agree about Ed Oliver, by the way. We saw Aaron Donald's, he already was the best defensive tackle in the NFL, but Von Miller's arrival in the Rams really helped him as well. We talked a little bit about OJ Howard last week. Red zone stud might be pushing a little more, but again, I don't compare him to Knox or great tight ends. I compare him to Tommy Sweeney, who was the Bills' second tight end last year. So that's a big upgrade. We might talk about Mac Jones a little bit. Zach Wilson, if the Jets, we just said, or I at least said, their goal should be to be a 500 team this year, that's pending on Zach Wilson, because I think the Jets got a lot of good young talent, but Zach Wilson needs to be better. Tua getting benched in the second half of the season, it just, you know, this tweet aside and this podcast episode aside, this whole offseason, it just blows my mind how much Bills fans think Tua stinks. And I'm not there yet. I'm not impressed with him, but I'm not, if I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm not ready to give up on him. And he's got weapons galore now. Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, Tyreek Hill. He's got good running backs out. Chase Edmonds, who can catch the ball. There's a lot of weapons for Tua. This whole, and plus, by the way, and not to mention a head coach, Mike McDaniel, now who's offensive minded as opposed to Brian Flores. I hate to say it, you know, sorry, Bills fans, but I think Tua's much better than a lot of you guys think he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's reasons as to why Tua has at times struggled. They've gone through different offensive coordinators. They've had different, like, schemes. But they're doing everything they can to get him a lot of weapons. And, like, these are some key weapons for him, you know. And I think I can't get past the fact that Tua isn't, like, a guy who, like, was – I don't know. How could I say this? Like, he came in, like out of nowhere, like a little bit like Josh Allen kind of did. Like Josh Allen kind of came out of nowhere when he got drafted high. Like no one really had him, I think, being a high pick like before the college football season started. Then he kind of progressed, tools, all that sort of stuff. Tua was a guy who like I felt was like in college, it was like a 2-year span of everyone knew he was going in the top 10. And it was like the suck for Tua, like
yeah, there was tanking for him. Teams were talking about tanking.
Yeah. And then he got injured and like had a really bad injury. And I think his first year, they kind of kept going back to, with Fitz and him and et cetera. But like they put a lot of weapons with him. I just don't think he's as, I don't think he's as garbage as like, as your boy, Nate Geary wants to indicate.
It's unfair to call him garbage now. That's my whole point. And I know you agree with this too. It's not fair to say that he's garbage yet. He deserves this year. If he doesn't improve, if he don't look much better this year with these weapons and a new head coach and more talent around him, then you got a problem if you're Miami. And then you better go out, you better get yourself a guy because you're surrounding a bunch of weapons around a quarterback who can't get it done. All Bills all day to the point, says Teddy Bridgewater, starting by week 6. Again, saying that Tua will get benched. I will say this. So I shouldn't shit on these tweets because Tua is not Josh Allen.
And you love Tua, go ahead.
Miami's not married. Mike McDaniel's not married to Tua. So for whatever reason, he does play like shit early on. They do got a veteran like Teddy Bridgewater. This isn't an insane tweet. You know what I'm saying? I don't buy it. I don't think it happens. But I don't think this is insane either. You know what I'm saying? They're not married. I'm higher on Tua than a lot of Bills fans are, certainly. But they're not married to him either. It's not like he's not Josh Allen. He's not going to get 3-4 years, whether he's great or whether he stinks. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they're going to bench him because I think if the coach was like in his third year and make it or break it kind of year, then yeah, if he struggled, I could see him being benched. But this being, my apologies, I forgot the coach's name, but like Mike McDaniel, thank you. It being his first season, I think he's going to ride Tua into the ground at the end of this season and be like, all right, fuck it.
Agree. Week 6.
Then that's it. Yeah.
Sort of. Now, to be fair, he didn't say to all Bills all day, didn't say Tua was going to get benched. He said Bridgewater starting. I mean, that could mean injury, and Tua has been injury prone. So if you look at the tweet from that aspect, it's not that outlandish. But anyway, I'm going to take a real quick break. I'm going to come back. And on the other side, we got plenty more of your Buffalo Bills and NFL hot takes to get to. Be right back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, I am back with Joe at Buffalo Wins on Twitter. Let's continue and get some more of these tweets in here before we get out of here. Bill S. says at Crazy Bill on Twitter, Patriots finished last in the AFC. They're going to intentionally tank. I included this tweet because, I mean, we've already talked about the Patriots finishing last. I said that literally. My tweet to kick this whole exercise off was, I think the Patriots are going to finish last. You don't agree with that, which is fine because, again, it's not likely to happen. I just think it could. Well, I don't agree with all they're going to intentionally tank. I mean, there's a difference, again, between having a bold prediction and just being flat out wrong. This is just wrong. The Patriots ain't going to tank. What? Why would they tank? They got a head coach who's near the end of his career in Bill Belichick. He's not going to spend a season tanking. They don't have a lot of good young players. Their quarterback's only in year two, Mac Jones. So what are they going to tank for what? I don't get that at all. There's no I think they might stink. I don't see them tanking. I can see some teams, like I think to an extent, the Jaguars, some of these other teams over the last few years have tanked to some extent. The Lions, the Patriots ain't going to tank. That's ridiculous, man.
No, that's not happening. Sorry. Yeah. If they didn't have a quarterback, like a high draft pick, then maybe.
Right. Right. Like, yeah. No. If Teddy Bridgewater was their quarterback this year, I'd be like, all right, yeah, they're going to tank. You know what I'm saying? If Casey Keenan was their quarterback this year, I would say they're going to tank. All right, Connor Manley, at Connor Manley 202, he tweets, this is interesting, Bills, Cody Ford gets fixed slash re-enters the lineup. NFL, the Jets go 500, 8-9. We've already discussed the Jets a couple times. Cody Ford, not going to start because they got Roger Saffold and they got Ryan Bates. Some people don't think he's going to make the roster. Raise your hand, me, as of right now anyway. But you do bring in a new O-line coach with Cromer. Maybe he could do something with Cody Ford. I like that. It's a nice bold prediction. He re-enters the lineup.
Yeah. Hey, it's possible. Look, it's possible. Like, look, I'm not one thing you and I, like we were talking about this off air a week ago during one of our million arguments, but like, I am not sold on the Bills offensive line. And I think they still to this day do not know what the hell they have. And I could see Cody Ford doing this because I do like Aaron Cromer. He knows how to coach offensive linemen. We saw him in Buffalo. He made John Miller look pretty damn good when John Miller was nothing, and then he became nothing after he left. He did pretty well with that offensive line from like the Rex Ryan days, basically. And I could see him maybe doing something with Ford.
It'd be nice. Overall,
yeah, it'd be nice. But overall, I think. This I would love if I was not lazy. I would look into like how many line combinations the Bills have had since 2019. It has to be in the 20s at this point. They have cut guys that they've re-signed, like Quentin Spain. They've like benched guys. They've like traded. They've done so many different line combos. Like last year, you know, I know they hit lightning in a bottle, and I use that term loosely over the last month of the season when they like threw Ryan Bates in and. I forgot. I don't even know what combination they used. It worked. Like I'll give them credit for that. But it's such a small body of work where you forget. Like the first 12 weeks of the season, you and I, when we were on this podcast, we were complaining that the offensive line was terrible and Josh Allen was running for his life and he was almost going to die. And then, like you know, they found a different turn. They found some different personnel. I don't know. Like, I'm skeptical about that. So I could totally see Cody Ford coming in and, like, taking over for Ryan Bates, maybe. Like, I don't know what happens. Again, no one thought Quentin Spain was going to get cut after three games in 2020. You know what I mean? And like, no one thought Cody Ford was going to lose his job to John Feliciano. Like, I guess the bottom line is this. Like, you never know what is up with the Bills' offensive line. And anything could freaking happen. I don't think anyone at the start of 2021 had the line combination being what it was when it ended.
I agree with that. I don't think he's going to start the year. I don't think he's got any real – short of injury, I don't think he's going to start the year as a starter because Roger Staffold is starting at left guard. And they did not match a big offer from Minnesota for Bates to not start. So, but who knows? Again, injuries happen, inconsistent play, to your point. Injuries were a problem last year. I mean, Feliciano, Ike Bakker, Spencer Brown had COVID. Deion Dawkins had COVID twice. So, I mean, he will get an opportunity at some point. I guess the point in the tweet is the most important part is forget about him entering the lineup, whether it's a starter or backup. It's him getting fixed. If Kromer can fix him, that would be a big win for the Bills. All right, let's keep this going here. Just in case, Jay at Jameson Cull says, McKenzie has 7 touchdowns this year between the air and the ground. I looked it up. Isaiah McKenzie has 10 total touchdowns during his Bills career, parts of 4 seasons combined, 10. 7 is a very that's a very ambitious number for a guy who – I don't see a big-time path to him getting a lot of playing time.
It depends. I mean, when he's on the field, he's good. I mean, he was great in that Patriots game if he's on the field. I mean, I think that's doable.
Yeah,
if he's on the field.
I think he'll have some weeks where he's going to get – he'll be in the game plan. And I think there's going to be weeks where he's not, though.
Maybe. I think overall the Bills wide receiving core, it's very interesting because there's a lot of youth. There's a little bit of youth there. And I think there's a little bit of, like, you know it's going to be Gabe Davis. You know it's going to be Diggs. And Crowder is in there. But then, like, if they do a lot of 4 or 5 wide receiver sets, which they could do, you know, they've done it in the past, or maybe they do – they have a lot of options. One of those guys could take off who, you don't know. Because, again, they got rid of Cole. They got rid of Emmanuel Sanders. And they only brought in really one veteran into that fold. And the rest are all kind of young guys. So –
let me say this.
I like Isaiah. I'm not going to lie. I think when he impressed me in that Patriots game. But again, you need a bigger body of work probably before you start saying he's going to get 7 touchdowns in a season.
Let me say this. But let's go back to our first episode last week. I don't remember who it was, but somebody said Jameson Crowder could be a surprise cut. I'm not saying he will be a surprise cut, but I would not be floored if Isaiah McKenzie ended up being a surprise cut because you got your 2 receivers, you got Jameson Crowder, you got Shakir, the rookie. Those 4 are locked in. Trust me, those guys are locked in, and unless injury happens, of course. Kumaro might make this team on special teams. He's a good special teams player. I think it could come down to Isaiah McKenzie versus Marquez Stevenson. Now, Stevenson would be the more likely guy to get cut, but Stevenson has they both have special teams value. And Kumaro has a lot of special teams value. I'm not saying McKenzie's going to get cut, so I don't want that to be twisted. I'm just saying if you were to put me on a spot, it's just fresh in my mind right now where you said, name me a player or veteran that would be like, oh, this guy got cut. I would say Isaiah McKenzie's on my list. That's just throwing it out there, man. Anyway,
that's possible. I mean, if you wanted me to predict like what veteran surprise cut. Yeah, it's possible for Isaiah McKenzie, in terms of that. Or Zach Moss. I guess that's the other guy maybe.
Sure.
Cut. I don't know.
Yeah, Zach Moss, definitely.
They have 4 running backs in that room right now.
Yeah,
so.
If Duke Johnson beats him out, I can totally see it happening. CNY's favorite tweeter, at Fracking
Sabers. Oh, it's Fracking Sabers. He's a good guy. I like him.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man.
Twitter guy.
Yeah, I like him. Actually. Here's his take. He says, Tyler Bass going to break his own point record with 160 points this season. Again, me being the math genius that I am, I did the math.
Yeah.
And for Bass to break his own record, he would have to average 9.41 points per game. And again, he did it last year in 17 games as well. I was going to say, most of these records that we talk about, it does matter that this team has an extra game now. Not this record, because he said it just last year. But 9.4 points per game. The only reason why I think he might not make that is because I don't know that the Bills are going to settle for all that many field goals. Let's just say he kicks one field goal a game. That's 3 points. You know, they're going to score a couple touchdowns a game. He'd have to average 2 field goals and 3 touchdowns a game at least to get to 9.4 points. That's a lot. I don't think
I'm going
to
see.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think he will because I'm going back to this. I think there's going to be a lot more shootouts this year. And when you're in shootouts, you're not kicking field goals. You're going for touchdowns, yep. Et cetera. Yep. So I'm going to say no.
All right. I agree. All right. Bills, Tremaine Edmonds will prove everyone wrong. NFL Chiefs will miss the playoffs, right? Matt Henry, by the way, at Matt Henry 92, put this out there. Again, there's nothing to discuss here. We've already talked about the Chiefs, and Tremaine Edmonds to me is not bold one way or the other because, again, half the people already think he's great, and the other half the people think he's going to be overrated no matter what he does. So let's move on. Interesting tweet, though. He'll prove everyone wrong. He'll prove half the people wrong one way or the other for sure. Chris and Parts. At knees, Ma, Groot, 10 or more sacks. I think I got another one here too. We're going to continue that going. Giant L, he's at not Amish Liam. The NFL Giants win a playoff game. Come on, man. And then the Bills continuing with Groot. Groot will have over 12 sacks. So, EM says that Groot's going to have 12, and Chris and Parts says he's going to have 10. Groot had 5 last year, by the way. I looked it up. Someone else, and I don't even have it up there. Someone also said he was going to have 14 sacks. The only Bills in the history of the franchise that have had more than 14 sacks, Bruce Smith, 19 in 1990, Bryce Pop, 17 and a half in 95, Bruce with 15 and 86, and Mario Addison with 14 and a half in 2014. You're talking exclusive company. I think Groot is going to be better in year 2. Especially with Hughes and Addison both gone, and Von Miller maybe not playing all that much early in the season. But double-digit sacks is a lot to ask for. 12 sacks, definitely for sure. It's bold. I'll give these guys that. It's a bold one. How accurate or realistic? I don't know. What do you think?
When was the last time a Bills player had over 10 sacks? I'll answer that for you. Am I right? I'm going to guess because I just thought of this question. Lorenzo Alexander. In like Rex's last year, was that the last time someone had over 10 sacks?
You know what? I don't have it in front of me, so I can't tell you with defensive ends. I could tell you the last time, but it's related to another tweet. It's Kyle Williams, and I'll talk about that. He had 10 and a half back in 2013, and Marcel Darius had 10.
Mario Williams definitely had in 2014, everyone had over 10 sacks almost, but like the last time. Lorenzo Alexander was the last Bills player I can remember who had, I think he had 10 sacks,
right.
Rex, in his last year. But it Groot, has been
Groot in year 2. It's a lot for Groot. I mean, that's a lot to ask.
I think there's a lot of people. I hate saying a lot of people because I hate exaggerating or throwing a generic statement, but this ain't fucking 90. This ain't 1995, man, when like people were getting a lot of sacks and all this sort of stuff. Like, they would be lucky. There's no one. I will say there's not going to be a guy who has over 10 sacks. It's just not going to happen. Sacks just don't happen as much. It's a league that is designed to get the ball out pretty damn fast. You'd have to go against a really bad quarterback. I say a bad quarterback, a guy who takes a lot of sacks. Like maybe Tannehill takes a lot of sacks. Tua takes sacks. So maybe like that's like how you can kind of finagle it. But like, yeah, I can't see. This is a semi-bold prediction by me. There will not be a Bill that has more than 10 sacks this year.
All right. I don't. Well,
there's not.
That's a coin flip. It could happen. It wouldn't be crazy to me one way or the other. I just don't think it's going to be Groot. I think if someone gets a 10 sacks, I don't think it's going to be Groot.
Who do you think it's going to be?
Tim Rudge. At Tim Rudge 90, his take is Rizzo will have more sacks than Von Miller in the regular season. And then he says, NFL take, the Eagles will win the NFC East. Relatively bold take. I also think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win the NFC East. Rizzo having more sacks than Von Miller in the regular season. On paper, that's certainly bold. For sure. I think. Dude, you're talking about you're not talking about Mario Addison. We're talking about Von Miller, right? And I get it. He's older. He's still Von Miller.
Real quick, people have to understand, like, this defensive line, which hasn't, like I said, has not. I know, like, I got some new blood in there.
Yeah, a lot of new blood in there.
not a new blood, but they do a big rotation. It's almost impossible. Like, if you're playing 60% of the snaps a game, it's going to be very hard for you to get 10 sacks in a season.
I agree with
that. Am I wrong? Like, yeah,
I agree with that. Is Sean McDermott going to finally change his philosophy? He's going to have to. You got Von Miller's not going to play 50, 60%. He might early in the season. Von Miller ain't playing 55% of the snaps late in the season. There's no freaking way that's happening.
That's going to be a big talking point on Mondays when media and people tweet out the snap count, which you can get a Pro Football Reference, and people see that if Von Miller is playing less than 70% of snaps, I think you're going to have an outcry on Twitter if the Bills defense is kind of struggling a little bit.
Agreed. And Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver should be playing a lot more than 50, 55% of the snaps as well. All right. This might be a bot. Boogie at a bunch of shitload of numbers here. He says,
this
Boogie,
is a bot.
Boogie tweets, Boogie Basham leads the Bills in sacks. All right. Next, please.
There's AJ Epinesa. Is AJ going to be on this list too?
I think Boogie Basham.
Shaq Lawson's going to do it.
I think Boogie Basham will be the third defensive end, though. I will say that.
Imagine putting this Von Miller sets a sack record. Come on, dude.
Because, the people listening who aren't on YouTube, Joe, let me read it. Don Taliano, at Don_Taliano, his bold prediction is Von Miller sets the sack record.
Sorry, Paisan, you're wrong on there.
Okay. Yeah, he's not 23 sacks would be
you need to like change your quality filter on Twitter with these replies there, buddy.
Listen, these are fans' opinions, man.
Bold predictions. Joking. Yeah, now, bold crack predictions.
If we said give me realistic stuff and you told me that, I'd be like, you're crazy. But we asked for bold shit, that's what we get. Frank,
you should have just asked me for bold takes. Okay, go
at ahead. Frank Lukovic.
Good luck pronouncing this. Okay, go ahead. Good
Bills, job. Von Miller gets 5 sacks or less. NFL, Lions make the playoffs. I'll repeat what I said last week. Joe Yurden would be very happy to see the Detroit Lions make the playoffs, which, by the way, I think the Detroit Lions are going to be an improved football team. They might make a little bit of a push, maybe. Von Miller getting 5 or less sacks. I would say that's bold. I wouldn't say it's outlandish.
What would you say? Let me ask you this. What's more realistic? He gets over 10 sacks or he gets 5 or less sacks?
I think he's going to get somewhere in the middle, closer to 10, though. I can see him getting 8 or 9 sacks because I think he's not going to play that much. And I think it's going to take him a little bit of time to get acclimated. And I think a lot of teams are going to pay a lot more attention to him, which I think is going to open stuff up for other guys. Look, you're not going to get the Von Miller of 2018. But he's still a very, very good football player. And I watched a lot of Rams football last year. He's a difference maker. He is a difference maker. There's no question about it. But 5 sacks or less, hey, it's bold. Give him that. Good job, Frank. Justin, hashtag go Habs go. Here we go again with this James Cook. People came up consistently with number with him. James Cook ends the year with 500-plus receiving yards. 500 receiving yards seems to be the number with fans and him. Singletary goes for 1,250 rushing yards. Josh Allen throws for 50 touchdowns plus 5,500 plus passing yards. Just according to this guy, all right? Forget about James Cook because that would be part of Allen. According to Justin here, that's 6,750 yards just between Josh's arm and Singletary's legs right there alone. That's really ambitious, man.
Yeah, it seems a little intense. Sorry. Yeah. Maybe if the Bills added Allen Robinson, maybe I could say like, yeah, sure. Like
the one thing I think that you and I kind of differ with a little bit is 1250. I think is much, but I said this last week. I could see Devin Singletary if he stays healthy. I could see him running for 1,000 yards this year. I could see him being a 1,000 yard running back.
Why do you think that?
Because I think they're going to run the football effectively. I think they're going to run it effectively.
Well, why do you think they're going to run it? Because you got more guys.
You got to have lighter boxes, man. You got good receivers. You got two good tight ends.
But Pat, why couldn't you run it last year? You had good offensive weapons last year. Do you think Stafford or whatever the fuck his name is from Tennessee?
Well, you said it yourself. The offensive line was played poorly last year for a good chunk
of the
last
offensive
year.
But it wasn't. I don't know. I thought the offensive line in the second half was better, and not the second half, but the last month of the season better in pass protection. But I'm not. I'm not thinking they open up all these damn holes that we're gonna have a 1,000 yard rusher.
A thousand yards. By the way, 1,000 yards over 17 games is not really that many yards. Just saying, it's like 60 some yards a game. You're telling me Devin Singletary can't average 60 some yards a game on the ground?
No, because I don't think this team is gonna. I am hoping I don't want them to rush the football. I want them to throw.
What do you want them to do and what's going to happen aren't always one in the state.
I'm just saying, like, why do you think they're going to all of a sudden – do you think Ken Dorsey is all of a sudden going to be like, oh, man, we got to run the football?
I do. I think Sean McDermott wants them to run the football more. Yes.
Well, he's
yes,
an asshole for doing that, if that's the case.
At Roscoe Davis. He's got a couple tweets here. Kyrie Elam, rookie of the year with 5+ interceptions. The Ravens are the only team from the North that make the playoffs. And he also says for only the second time in his career, Tom Brady does not make double-digit starts. All right, so he's projected in bold predictions here. Tom Brady's going to get hurt. He's basically saying that the Cincinnati Bengals are not going to make the playoffs because he's saying the Ravens are the only team from the North. And Kyrie Elam, rookie of the year, with 5 interceptions. I'll say this. I think Kyrie Elam's going to get an opportunity to be rookie of the year because I think he's going to start. And I think teams are going to go after him. So how do you get interceptions by going after guys?
Yeah, and then you're in a shootout too. Like if you're in shootouts, the opposition's going to throw a lot more. Yeah. I can see that happening. That's not bad because he's definitely going to be. You know, I mean, the Bills. It's not like the Bills are going to only have 4 defensive backs on the field. They're going to have 4 or 5 because all these teams freaking pass all the time.
Sure.
So
sure.
He'll be on the field a lot. That's possible.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Brady getting hurt is a really big. That's a projection. I don't really care for. I'm not going to go there. I don't want to project people getting hurt. By the way, not pictured on the screen if you're watching this on YouTube. But I saw a tweet that I had to add. It's from Ryan Ike. He said Dane Jackson outperforms Kyer and holds the starting spot when Trey comes back. That's a pretty, I don't know how bold that is, but he is the incumbent. That's pretty interesting. I mean, a lot of people, some people like Dane Jackson, and maybe Elam doesn't start at all his rookie year. It's certainly possible. Anyway, I just thought that would be worth.
I think he's playing a lot. Draft him to sit there and hold.
No,
Gatorade.
But I could see Elam. Not being, you talk about some of these rookies not getting rushing in the lineup. If Trey White is back, now if Trey White's not back early in the year, then there's no brainer. It's Dane Jackson and Elam. But if Trey's back, I could see Elam being brought along.
I could, if Levi Wallace was still there, I could see that maybe. But with him gone and them not really signing another cornerback, I think he's playing.
At Luke the Average, I like that name. Luke Rapport, he tweets, not the sexiest bold take, but the Bills defense dials back that nickel defense from 90% of snaps in each of the last 3 years to just below 80%. Still a high number, but I think they took Bernard. He's talking about Terrell Bernard, the linebacker they drafted in the 3rd round. Much more of the Milano mold to add more versatility that allows more base defense. Look, I don't want to pretend and get into film study and stuff like that and schemes that I don't have any idea. I will say I put this tweet up there because it makes sense. That could be a reason why they drafted a linebacker in the 3rd round so that they could play a little bit more base defense with a guy who's a better blitzer than AJ Klein was and who could cover better out of the backfield, but he's got more size than Teron Johnson, who's always on the field when they're in their standard nickel. I mean, I really don't got much to add. I think it's a good tweet. It was interesting anyway. Yeah.
I think they're still going to have a lot more cornerbacks on the field than they are going to have linebackers.
And yeah.
I don't know much about Bernard. I mean, I don't pay too much attention to the draft, but I feel like he's there for special teams. And then if Tremaine Edmonds leaves next year, they try to put him in there.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, we'll see. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. At least it gives him an option to maybe play a little bit of a bigger base defense as opposed to having to be in a nickel all the time. They had to do something to replace AJ Klein too. Thomas Murphy at Murphy TV. Last couple here, by the way. Bills, Ed Oliver, 10+ sacks, who will lead the team. NFL, Texans win AFC South with a 9-8 record. That might be as bold of a prediction as anything I've seen. If there's a team that's got, I don't want to say tank, but let's not be good this year so we can get the top quarterback next year in a quarterback heavy class, it's the Houston Texans. They got some young players, but this team stinks. Winning the division with a 9-8 record, no shot. Ed Oliver, 10+ sacks. I love Ed Oliver. I thought he became a stud last year. I think he's one of the best players on his football team. He might be the best player on this football team whose name's not Josh Allen, by the way. But anyway, 10-plus sacks, his career high is only 5. And I talked about this earlier. The only Bills defensive tackles to have 10 sacks or more in a season, Kyle Williams, 10.5 back in 2013, and then Marcel Darius had 10 in 2014. I'll give Thomas credit. That's bold, Ed Oliver. 10 sacks is bold without being ridiculous. The Texans is ridiculous, but Ed Oliver, I don't think that's ridiculous. Von Miller, again, I think the Von Miller effect is going to help him. He's going to get a lot more single blocking. So,
yeah, he will. I mean, I just don't know about this 10 sacks, man. Like I said, like, sacks just don't come out as much as they used to. And especially if you're playing really good offenses. And I think they're playing really good offenses this year. But, hey, you know, if they get some pressures, then great. You know, obviously that would be that they can lead the turnovers. But
the reason why I agree with you, only reason why I agree with you, is I don't necessarily buy the sacks don't come. Lots of players around the league have 10 or more sacks. Where I agree with you is Sean McDermott's philosophy towards constantly rotating. I think not getting enough snaps to get to double-digit sacks is a bigger factor than anything else with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the year where there will be more questions about that, because I think there is a tier of guys we know. I think, like, from 2018 to 2020, it was kind of this weird combination of they did that rotation, but there wasn't a perfect person for you to stand for. Like, oh man, they should be playing Shaq Lawson way more snaps, or Jordan Phillips way more. It kind of made sense for them to do kind of that whole, like, collection, whatever, defensive lineman by committee. Now it's not, because you have Von Miller there, you have Ed Oliver there. Like, those are guys who should play 70 to 80% of the snaps.
I agree.
Like, you can't make a case that they shouldn't be.
And Greg Rizzo, too. Same deal with him. Yeah. He's a first-round pick.
When you're drafting defensive linemen as high as they have been doing, you kind of are like, hey, why you kind of pick your favorites a little bit with, like, why isn't this guy playing more? It's one thing when you have, like, a guy like – you have Star Latulé and you have, like, age – you know, other guys who kind of are just there. Like, you're like, ah, like, are you going to really pound the pavement for like these guys to play? But when you have stars and guys who are high draft picks, that's when you start questioning, like, why is this guy not playing enough?
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they do with this rotation now, because there's more talent there, it feels like, than before.
There's more top-heavy talent now than before. So, yeah, I agree. I think one of the points to look for this year is, I think, is Sean McDermott going to dial back a little bit this even rotation, keep everybody fresh, and play your best players more than 50-55%, because he's got two or three guys he should. All right, last few here. John Smythe says, his Bills take is Matt Hawk makes the roster. His NFL take is the Broncos miss the playoffs. Broncos missing the playoffs, I would call that a lukewarm hot take, because, again, they're really good, and they got Russ Wilson, and they had a lot of talent. They just sucked at quarterback. So they're very much in the mix, but at the same token, loaded AFC West, they could easily finish third or even fourth in their division and miss the playoffs. So I say that's lukewarm. Matt Hawk making the roster, I don't think this is quite as outlandish as everyone thinks. Look, punt god Matt Araizia was drafted in the 6th round. He is not a lock to make this team. And the reason why is the guy's got – he could kick the ball for miles, but he has to be able to hold. Holding is big, and we learned that last year. That's why they did not cut Matt Hawk, because he's an excellent holder. Tyler Bass loves him. So. The punt god has to be able to learn how to hold the ball, and he's never had to in college because he also kicked the ball. So he's going to have to learn how to hold, and he's also struggled some with accuracy with punting. He kicks the shit out of the ball, but he outkicks his coverage. Anyway, my point is this. I mean, Jesus Christ, I'm already spending too much time talking about a fucking punter. But Matt Hawk making the roster, unlikely, but not that crazy to me.
The only thing I'll say about learning how to hold is this. From my experience, not holding the football, but from watching the Bills, there are two guys that come to mind who ended up holding the football, who ended up doing holds, like, middle of their career when they never did it before. And I don't know if you'll remember this, but, like, Steve Tasker did the last 3 years of his career when Frank White used to be the holder, and then they had him do it, and he was fine. Like, I don't remember anything like he missed a snap. And then Chris Moore, when – Tasker left, Chris Moore came in, and he became the holder. I have no idea if those two guys did it at a different level, like college or anything like that, but they did not do it in the pros.
Right.
So I say that in a – maybe it's not that difficult for Punk God to figure out how to hold. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not a holding expert
over here. I'll say this, Joe. It does matter in this organization. Corey Bojarquez had great punting stats, but he couldn't hold for shit. And that's a bit, and that's the reason he's bounced around three or four teams in the last 2 years because he's a lousy holder. Every team in the NFL wants their punter to be the holder because you don't carry three quarterbacks on game day. And you know what? If your backup quarterback plays and gets hurt, now you don't have a holder anymore. So makes sense. Anyway, again, too much time on a punter. Speaking of Buffalo Bills recap at Go Bills recap, the Bills set the record for fewest punts in a season. That's fun. Fun tweet. Okay.
Sure. Why not? Right. Hey, they like to go for it.
Two more. Bills, Josh Allen wins regular season MVP and Super Bowl MVP. NFL, there will be six new teams that make the playoffs this year that weren't in it last year. All right. Well, I mean, Josh Allen winning regular season MVP and Super Bowl MVP, that's nice. It's fun. By the way, this was from
at
Crypto Nasty 75, by the way, is the one who sent this tweet.
All right, Crypto. Thank you.
It's a good tweet. Not much to add. Six new teams that make the playoffs. That's hard to envision.
Well, who could it be? Let's just try this.
We kind of did that already last week. But
yeah,
right.
Well, people may not listen to it. So, but we did it through the NFC though. So the new teams could be, I'm gonna count this: the Browns, the Steelers, or not the Steelers. Sorry, the Browns, the Ravens, the Seahawks, or not the Seahawks, the Broncos.
You're losing it, dude.
And the Chargers are like four teams in the and
sure.
The AFC.
Chargers, who Broncos, Ravens, right off the bat, but those are three good teams that are expected to make the playoffs.
Who in the NFC could make the playoffs who didn't make it last year?
Saints, for sure.
Saints, really?
I mean, yeah, I think the Saints, Saints are good. Saints got a lot of talent, man. They got a good football team.
Okay.
The Saints, for sure. Again, we laughed last year when you were thinking of some of these teams that would end up being good. The Vikings. I think the Vikings could be pretty good.
Sure.
Maybe. Arizona actually did make the playoffs last season.
The NFC is kind of whack because I don't see it like a team going like, oh, my God, this team. There's no Seattle there's no Denver team there or a Cleveland team where it's like, oh, yeah, this team's definitely going to shoot it up
To get the six new teams like Crypto tweeted, four of them would have to probably come from the AFC. I could see that happening. Maybe two at the most or so from the NFC. All right, last tweet here is from Old Man Harris, at Old Man Harris 1. Bold. I thought this was fun. That's why I saved it for last. Bold. Bills complete the first perfect season in modern NFL.
Sure.
McDermott is coach of the year.
Coach of the decade. He should just be statue right there that you have. Let a statue of McDermott.
You're going to give me a bold take to end this. This isn't a bold take because I truly mean this. All the stuff we've talked about between last week and this week with the Bills, all these good players and all these big numbers and all these victories, all this stuff about all these players. And if I'm concerned about one thing on this football team more than all else is Sean McDermott. And I know fans are like, what? I'm telling you now, he was the right guy to bring in, a character guy, a culture guy. He got this team right. But I still am hung up last year on him blowing it in Kansas City. He is the reason why the Bills did not go to the Super Bowl flat out. And the Bills did not win a close game last year. They lost every one score game last year. Literally. Sean McDermott has more to prove to me than anybody on this football team. And he's on the field on Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays because they play every other fucking primetime game this year. Sean McDermott has more to prove to me than anything else. If there's something that could derail the Bills, minus injury, because on paper, they don't have no holes. Minus injury, if there's something that could derail the Bills this year besides pressure like we talked about last or earlier, Sean McDermott's got a lot to prove to me, man. Winning
right now
games with coaching. Game
sure.
Day.
And I agree with that. If Sean McDermott didn't coach another game, he would be, to me, he would be Marty Schottenheimer. A guy who, like, can turn around a program, get you 10, 11 wins, but then some, for whatever reason, for whatever reason, he cannot get you to the next step. That's me being, if he stopped coaching today.
Yes.
And like, that's what he would be.
Agreed.
He'd be Marty Schottenheimer.
I agree.
But yeah, he's got a lot. He's got like, there's so much pressure, man. Like on the Bills, like there, I didn't think there could be more pressure than last year going into the season when it was like, you're going off the Chiefs game and like, you know, they ran it back. And then this year is different because they added Von Miller. Once they added Von Miller, it just took the expectations up to like level 10.
Yeah. You know, they went from being slight favorites to significant favorites. And that's because of the offense in the playoffs. I mean, we saw an offense that was literally unstoppable, and we saw a quarterback that was literally unstoppable in the playoffs. Then you go and you add Von Miller, and you didn't really lose anybody of significance. You lose Harrison Phillips, Levi Wallace, and all due respect, so what? You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. I do wonder what they're going to do with that defensive tackle like situation, because now Phillips and Starr are gone. Like, I don't even know who they're going to like.
I like guys they brought in. Tim Settle, I like Tim Sweater, I like Daquan Jones. I like what they've done at defensive tackle position. But yeah, to me, the pressure is on Sean McDermott. He has to prove to me that he can game day coach in clutch situations in big moments and do the right thing. And we haven't seen that yet, folks. I'm sorry, but that's true. But anyway, you're going to have the final take. You did it last week. Do it again this week. Let's end this podcast. Give me your bold prediction. What do you got?
Josh Allen will rush for more than 750 yards this year. And I will tell you why. And this is just completely, I'm pulling this out of my ass. But Ken Dorsey comes from the Carolina mold where he had Cam Newton back there. And what did Cam Newton do a lot of? He ran a lot of design runs. I feel that's gonna happen with Josh Allen. He's going to have over 750 yards rushing. That is my bold prediction.
I predict a lot of people hope you're wrong because that means he's going to get hit a lot more. But it makes sense. It makes sense.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it'll be like 200 yards more than what he's had, I think, in his career. I could be wrong of like each year, but maybe I'll Google it afterwards. I came off the top of my head. It'll be like, oh yeah, he had 650 last year. And I'll be like, what the hell am I thinking? But I do think he's going to, you know what? The hell with this. I'm going to double down. He will lead the team in rushing this year.
Josh Allen leads the team in rushing. All right, well then
yes,
I guess
Josh Allen's going to lead the team in rushing. There you go.
Bold I guess my Devin Singletary runs for 1,000 yards ain't happening. So
no, Devin Singletary's going to get cut. No, I'm just kidding. He's not. But that's my bold prediction. Josh Allen leads the team in rushing.
All right, I like it, man. Thank you everybody again for listening. Thank you everybody for watching. I'll be back Casual Friday. Joe Yurden. Talk to you guys soon. Take care.